More than half of all the people expected to vote in next week's midterm elections have already voted, according to the Secretary of State's office. Arizona, of course, offers voters the option to vote by mail, as do many other states. In some states, including Oregon and Washington, elections are held entirely by mail. Advocates say that's a way to increase turnout, but my next guest says that's not always the case. Elizabeth Bergman is chair of the Political Science Department at Cal State East Bay and has done research on this. And Elizabeth, it seems kind of intuitive that if you mail someone a ballot and give them some amount of time to fill it out and send it back, that would encourage people to vote. And in some cases, certainly it does. But you found that that's not universally the case. So how can voting by mail actually decrease turnout?
Well, it's one of those kind of funny situations where the logical outcome or the rational outcome isn't always, as you point out, it's not universal, but it's certainly a majority of people are taking advantage of vote by mail. So we should note that at the start. But for some people, it's not, convenience doesn't matter. So it seems like it's an irrational thing. When in fact, in many other aspects of life and things that we do, we don't always engage in rational behavior. Even though it may seem logical that if something's more convenient, you should do it, people get used to behaving a certain way and they like to do things a certain way, that the way that they've always done them. And changing isn't always rational either.
So does that mean that for some voters, even though it might be less convenient to stand in line on a particular day, that's the way they've always done it, so they would rather continue doing that as opposed to sitting at their dining room table and filling out a ballot at their convenience?
Well, let's be careful. Most voters don't stand in line. There's more than 3,000 election jurisdictions in this country that have thousands and thousands of polling places. What we see on the media, the media coverage can give us a sense of that, because the media is covering what's different and unusual, and standing in line happens to be one of those things. For most voters, they are not standing in line. So I think that's part of the perhaps the conceptual problem.
But even for voters who aren't standing in line, and they still have to physically go somewhere on a particular day that they don't get to choose, as opposed to filling out their ballot at a time that's convenient for them.
Yeah, you know, and when you put it like that, it makes sense that everybody should want to do what they can in a convenient, comfortable way at home. But for some number, and based on my research, it's about 1 in 10 voters. That's not the way they think, and that's not the way they want to behave.
Are there particular ways that election officials or jurisdictions can encourage people to vote by mail if maybe they weren't otherwise inclined to do so?
Yes, so that's one of the findings in my research as well, is that we looked at what the factors were. We controlled for things like education, income, and the typical sort of things that are important to understand. And one of the other things that we looked into, the variables, was what was the type and frequency of communication, official communication from the registrar of voters to the voters. And it does matter. And for the registrars of voters that sent at least 4 pieces of official communication, letters, postcards, of what was going to be happening with respect to voting by mail for their voters, that reduced the negative turnout completely, or I should say that eliminated the negative turnout effect completely. Unfortunately, not all election officials have money to do that marketing.
Do you find that over time, the more elections that happen with vote-by-mail options, that people sort of come around? Kind of like, you know, in any kind of change, sometimes it takes people a little while to sort of see it in action and figure out how it might affect them. Maybe if not the first or second election, by the third, fourth, or fifth election, do you find that more people might be more interested in taking that option?
Not without the marketing or the information campaign, no. You would think so. The convenience, the experience on their own, by themselves, are not sufficient to overcome whatever the other obstacles the voter has in their mind without the additional information and education piece.
Well, so it seems as though if a jurisdiction is going to embark on a vote-by-mail kind of system, it would be really important to make sure that there is a budget for sending postcards, sending letters, maybe posting signs or doing social media ads, emails, things like that, so that people really do know that this is happening and sort of how it works and what the process is so that they actually take part in it.
Yes, exactly. That's critical.
But it would also seem as though, based on your research, that maybe the ideal way for a jurisdiction to handle this is to maybe have a vote-by-mail system with notification and marketing, but also some number of physical polling places for people who just don't want to vote by mail. They also have that option.
Yeah, and we've seen that that's been a productive path and plan for Colorado, which has sort of what we call this hybrid system. That's what we see, is that when people are given options, that usually works out to be the most comprehensive and effective kind of solution, for the very reason you just said. You're giving people options.
Do you get the sense that election jurisdictions are aware of that? Because you tend to see it, when you see changes to the way elections are run, it's usually in the direction of voting by mail and maybe reducing, or in some cases eliminating altogether, in-person voting.
Well, I think there's a couple of issues at work here. I think that many election jurisdictions, election officials, are certainly aware, but they're hampered by a lack of funding. And certainly there might be political factors that influence any potential implementation that they would like to undertake. So I think that even if the local election officials are aware, they face a host of challenges that they have to overcome that aren't always within their power to overcome, shall we say.
Elizabeth Bergman is chair of the Political Science Department at Cal State East Bay.